Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
1 Samuel, verse 12, or chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. Say, be sure to fear the Lord and serve him with all of your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for giving us this time to sit under your word. We invite your spirit to be fully present and amongst us, oh God. We believe that our hearts and minds have been made ready to receive your word on today. Sit me down, take me out of the equation, destroy me, remove me, oh God, if you need to, in order that your word go forth without hindrance and limitations. You know exactly what your people need on today. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. Speak and we will be fed. Speak and we will be changed. Speak and we will be empowered. Speak and we will do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. During the last judgment reign of Samuel, he was the last judge in Israel. And as his reign was coming to a close, the people were at unrest because they wanted a king. They had all of these other areas surrounding them, all of these other people, the Ammonites, the Amalekites, the Kenites, all of these different tribes had kings, and they felt that they needed a king as well. And so they began to rise up and complain about not having a king and wanting a king. They didn't trust the Lord's design of leadership because they thought that what the others had was better than what the Lord had given them. Now, in God's perfect will, there is his preferred will and there is his permissive will. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Now, many times people think that they know what's best for them based on their experience or based on their education or based what their mama had told them or based on what they read on the internet. But God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. As people of God, we have a responsibility to obey the Lord even when it doesn't make sense to us, even when it's inconvenient to us, even when others disagree with it. One quality of the mature Christian that often gets overshadowed or overlooked by gifts and talents among the immature is character. Character, moral fortitude, the ability to make God decisions, character, that thing that resides in your personality and dictates who you really are, not who you say you are or who they think you are, but who you truly are. Character is what people see in you based on what comes out of your mouth and what comes through your actions. People of God often overlook the need for character development when they see certain gifts and talents in people. If a person can sing real good, or if they can preach real good, or if they seem to have a certain amount of charisma that can rally people together, will let character flaws slide in order to showcase their gifts and talents. Unfortunately, that's a building that has been built on a foundation of sand. Now, it's true that anointing sometimes runs ahead of character. There are plenty of people in the church, in the family of God, who have an anointing on their life, but their character hasn't yet risen to meet it. We may have gifts, but if we don't have wisdom, our lack of character is going to contradict our gifts. We may have supernatural abilities, but if our character is underdeveloped, we're going to let somebody down. Anointing is a manifestation of the power of God. Sin is a manifestation of the power of the flesh. And sometimes these two contradict. Today's theme is manifestation of anointing. Manifestation of anointing. When we talk about anointing, we're talking about what others are able to hear, see, and feel in us. They need to recognize and experience God within us. It's the evidence of our godliness. And we're continuing in our series of manifestation where God has been proving to us that people, places, and things are showing up in our lives. This is a year where prayers have been answered and things that we've been waiting for have been made plain to us. Our thoughts have been turning to action. Today we're going to be in 1 Samuel. And I wish that I could tell the whole story, but there's all kinds of backstory that I don't have time to get into on today. But we're going to be spending our time in 1 Samuel chapters 15 and 16. And if you'll allow me, I'm going to have to tell the story to make sure that everybody has a clear understanding of what God wants to get us or to give to us on today in the form of an understanding of how to manifest anointing in our lives. Is anybody with me? 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's look at verse 22. And 23. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." This is the word that the Lord gave to Samuel to give to Saul. Now let me back it up. Can we rewind just a little bit? Samuel, the judge, is in charge, but he's coming to the end of his reign, and now the people have decided that they want a king. And God, being omniscient and omnipotent, understood that the people were afraid, and he knew what they needed, and he also understood what they wanted. So he set it up in a way for them to be able to have the type of king that they thought they wanted. Stay with me. He knew what was in their mind. He knew that they wanted their king to look a certain way, to act a certain way, to be a certain height, to come from a certain family. But they weren't thinking about how God was orchestrating everything in the back. I done peeled back the veil for you right quick so you could see what was going on in the spirit. But meanwhile, in the physical, the people are calling on a king. And so the Lord set it up for a young man named Saul to be set in position before Samuel and for the Lord to be able to reveal to Samuel that this would be the first king of Israel. I said the first king of Israel. And so Saul went through a series of events where at first people didn't really want to follow behind him because he was acting like he was afraid, but he had the right height, he had the right look, he came from the right family, and he proved himself in battle, which gained the confidence of the people. So then the time came for Samuel to anoint him, to take the horn of oil and to pour the oil over his head, to have it drip down to the soles of his feet and declare him as the first king of Israel. Am I boring you? I heard somebody say, yeah. All right, now stay with me, stay with me. So Saul was now the king, and he had been anointed. And the Bible said that a change took place in him when he got anointed through the power of the Lord, that he began, he had the Spirit of the Lord over him, the power of the Lord was with him, and he was winning battles because he had been changed as a result of the power of God on his life. One day, the Lord said to Samuel to tell Saul that the Amalekites needed to be destroyed as a result of what they had done to the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt. And the Lord was specific. He said, I want you to kill every man, every woman, every child. I want you to kill the livestock. I want you to kill every animal, every chicken. Don't let the egg stay alive. I need every Amalekite and anything associated with an Amalekite to be destroyed. Is that clear to you? That's what the Lord said to Saul. And so Saul rallied up his fighting men, thousands and thousands of fighting men, to go to the Amalekites. And the first thing he did was he released the Kenites who had been living among the Amalekites. Now, you might remember the Kenites. Jael was a Kenite. She was an ally of the Israelites. So that was okay. God didn't say it specifically, but that was okay. But then he took it a step farther. He instructed his soldiers to kill everything that's not good. But everything that's good, the cattle, the sheep, the livestock, keep them and don't kill King Agag. We're going to take him with us. So that's exactly what they did. Everything that they decided was not good, they destroyed. But everything that they deemed was good, they preserved, they kept, they did not destroy. What happens when God gives you a word and you decide to put your flavor on it? You decide to put your own little spin on it. Because then your justification of the situation, it makes sense to you. What happens is you slip off into some disobedience. You no longer obeying the Lord when you change any part of his word. Any little part of his word, when it gets changed, we are disobedient. So Samuel is at home, and God is talking to Samuel. And he's telling Samuel, I'm so grieved that I allowed Saul to be king. I am upset because I allowed this Saul to become king. And Samuel couldn't sleep. He was restless and he couldn't wait to get to Saul because he had a word that he had to give him from the Lord. And when he meets up with Saul, Saul greets him first with blessings and he's excited and he's happy because in his mind, he's done what the Lord said for him to do. In his mind. And Samuel had to check him. If you did what the Lord said for you to do, what is this bleeding I'm hearing in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I'm hearing in my ears? God told you exactly what to do, and you did not do it exactly as the Lord has instructed. You have disobeyed God. And there are to be consequences. Do you know there are consequences when we disobey the Lord? Yeah, you can repent and you can ask for forgiveness, but you done set a train in motion that's got a destination. There are consequences when we disobey the Lord. Samuel, the judge, had to summon for Agag, the king, and all the cattle to come. And he himself had to kill the king of the Amalekites and all the bleeding and lowing animals that Samuel refused to destroy. Samuel had to clean up his mess. Because even if you don't do it, if God said it, it's going to get done. If it's not done by you, it's going to be done by somebody else. And of course, Samuel was all upset and repentant and asking for forgiveness and wanting to go and make sacrifices and whatnot. And they did go and do that. But afterwards, the Bible says Samuel never went to go see Saul again. And the Bible goes on to say that the Lord's anointing was removed from Samuel, from Saul. And he reigned as the first king for 42 years. And the Bible doesn't make it clear exactly at what point in his reign his anointing was removed, but I can tell you this, for the majority of the time he was king, he was not anointed. He was appointed, but he was not anointed. Can I go on? So then the Lord says to Samuel, there's another one that I've chosen. I've chosen another one to be king. And I want you to go and worship. Go and make some sacrifices. And Samuel said, well, if I go, Saul's going to see me and he's going to kill me. He said, no, it's okay. Just go take Jesse and his family with you and go on and do what I said do. And I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know who I've chosen to be the second king of Israel. And so they all got together, Jesse's family and Samuel, and they were providing animals for sacrifices and worshiping the Lord. And Samuel saw one of the sons, and he just knew based on stature, based on being handsome, based on his presence, that that had to be the one that the Lord was calling to be the second king. And the Lord said, don't look there. The Lord said, don't get caught up on that, because just because he looks like he's king doesn't mean I've chosen him to be king. And then he paraded all these sons in front of Samuel. Jesse paraded all of his sons in front of Samuel. And the Lord said, nope, uh-uh, not him, not him either. Nope, uh-uh. And then Samuel said, Jesse, do you have any more sons? And Jesse said, yeah, I've got my youngest, David. He's out there with the animals. He's a shepherd. He's out there shepherding. Samuel said, well, go get him, and we're going to stand right here until you get back. So he went. Jesse went and got David and brought David back. And the Lord said, this is him. This is the one that I have chosen to be king. Now look back at verse 22, verse chapter 15. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Now, Saul had come back from the battle of the Amalekites, and he was excited to bring burnt offering to the Lord, but the Lord told him to kill all of the animals, so there was to be no burnt offering. Do you understand that? That's why it says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The Lord would have rathered that Saul did exactly what he said to do and not decide when and how he's going to worship, because the best worship of God is to obey the Lord. Not to come up in here singing praises, raising your hand, lifting your voice, and doing your dance. He may not have asked you to do that, but he may have asked you to quit smoking. He may have asked you to stop drinking. He may have commanded you to stop fornicating. But you decide you're going to give burnt offerings and sacrifices. He says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, to do what he says, is better than the fat of rams, than any sacrifice that you can offer me, says the Lord. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, which you might as well call witchcraft. And arrogance like the evil of idolatry. When we are arrogant, we put ourselves before our God and become our own idol in our religion. And then the Lord says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So David got anointed to be king, but he did not yet get appointed to be king. There were years that David had to spend in training in order to be prepared to be the king that God desired, because David was already a man after God's own heart, not because he was special, but because he was consistent in his relationship with God. That pleases God, that even when you sin, you don't run away from him. David had all that he needed inside of him, but his character needed to be developed. Now, Saul first saw him and was impressed with his gifts. You know, he killed Goliath right after he was anointed. Not long after that, he killed the champion, the giant Goliath, and set the Philistines on their knees. He was a man who wasn't afraid of battle. He wasn't afraid of war, and he was musically inclined. And because the anointing of the Lord had released itself from Saul, am I telling y'all too much? Because the anointing of the Lord had released itself from Saul, there was an evil spirit that had come upon him, and the only way he could get soothed was to hear some music on a harp. Somebody told him, David knows how to play harp. So they summoned David, and he came in initially as the harpist, but then he began to move up in the ranks, and he fought many battles. But then Saul got jealous of David. He didn't know about the anointing. He didn't know that the Lord had appointed, anointed him, but he knew there was something special about this ruddy, handsome boy. And Saul flipped it and started chasing him to kill him. For years, he was distracted as the king because he was so busy chasing after David and trying to kill David. And David ran from Saul. He never turned and retaliated against Saul. He allowed Saul to chase him, and he ran. He lived among the Philistines. That's Goliath's people. For years, in caves and hidden places, so Saul couldn't find him. And then whenever he had the opportunity to kill Saul, he didn't do it. He didn't do it because Saul may not have been anointed, but he was appointed. And David had respect for his office. But in the appointed time, David was made king. I can't go into that story today, but I just need you to get that the anointing was released from Saul because Saul refused to obey the Lord. And the anointing was placed on David, even though it wasn't his time to reign as king. Still talking about manifestation of anointing. We need to figure out, family, how to get anointing and character to come together. How does anointing and character match up? Because you don't want to be one of those people that can lay hands on the sick and then turn around and have a cigarette with the sick as well. You don't want to be one of them. You don't want to be one of them people that can preach somebody all up under the pew, but then now you're sleeping with him, her, and them. Anointing and character have to match up, family. And there's a way that has got to be done. The first thing is that we've got to be willing to be trained. You may know you have an anointing. You may know that God has charged you to do certain things in the family of God in the midst of his presence, but there's some training that must take place. And when we set people up without training, we set them up for failure. And then we start to judge them because they let us down when they shouldn't have been put up in the first place. Because the truth of the matter is, everybody that walks through that door and joins this ministry is anointed to do something. You might be good with numbers. We need that just as much as we need singers and preachers. Know your anointing and allow yourself time to get trained to be able to handle the weight of the anointing, because when you're in training, you're anointed, but you're not yet appointed. So you may not be able to use your gift as much as you would like to, but you know that the gift exists, and there will be opportunity that will rise up for you to be able to prove it to yourself, not to the people of God, not to God. He already knows, but just to remind you that yes, it's here. Is still here, but I need to be trained so that I won't get the glory. I won't take the glory that belongs to God. I need the training so that I will recognize that in my humility, that's when my authority will rise up. So we have to be willing to be trained. And if you are a part of a ministry that doesn't do training, then you need to find somewhere else to be. Because every disciple needs to be taught, needs to be raised up in order to be who God has appointed for us to be. So in order for our anointing and our character to match up, we've got to get some training. Does that make sense? The second thing is we've got to let God be God. We've got to just let God be God. Saul didn't know how to let God be God. He decided he was going to take matters into his own hands because it just made good sense. Why would you kill good animals when we've got needs in our own camp? So he didn't let God be God. We've got to let God just be God. We've got to let him do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. And we've just got to submit in peace knowing that he knows what he's doing. See, our problem comes in when we get to second guessing God's choices. Who are we to second guess what God has said? Who are we to second guess, to question what God has done? You don't have to understand it. He knows you have a limited understanding, but you don't need to be talking bad about it. You don't need to be talking against what God has said or what God has done. Is anybody out there? We have got to let God be who he is. Sometimes he's still and small because that's what we need when we're laying in our bed by ourselves. We just need the whisperings of the Holy Spirit to remind us that everything's going to be all right, that it's going to work out if you just trust in me and wait on me. And sometimes we need him to come as a thunderous, mighty presence in order to defeat the enemies that have been rising up against us. God knows how to be exactly what we need when we need it. But our problem is we don't know what we need. And when he shows up meeting the need, we say no thank you because we think we need something else. In order for our anointing and our character to match up, we got to recognize God for who he is. And we've just got to let him be that, the great I am. The third thing is we can't let anything separate us from the love of God, not even sin. See, that's what the enemy does. Because sin in its nature does separate us from God. Because sin is an archery term that literally means missing the mark. And if God is the bullseye and we over here on a third or fourth rung, then we've missed the mark. But we don't have to allow our humanness to separate us from the love of God, because he created us and he knows everything there is to know about us. He knows we're going to sin before we sin. And if we're struggling against it and just make some mistakes, don't turn away and act like you have failed. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep on moving in his name. That's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to allow the sin to easily beset us. He wants us to run this race with perseverance because it's been marked out for us. Do you understand? Your race has been marked out for you, which means it includes the pitfalls of your sin. Those are opportunities to have your character developed. If there were no sin, we would take him for granted. If there were no sin, we wouldn't appreciate our righteousness. We need sin in our lives, family. Because we need to be reminded that he is God and we are not. We need to be reminded that I might be down, but I'm not out. We need to be reminded that it doesn't matter how low I go, he can bring me out. We need to be reminded of these things so that we won't allow these things to separate us from God. That's why David is a man after God's own heart. I'm still talking about manifestation of anointing. Saul was anointed to be king because the people demanded a king and the Lord allowed it. He was appointed to be king to teach Israel some lessons and to prepare David to be the anointed one. But he was not approved to be king because he disobeyed God's commands. You can still have your appointment but lose your anointing. Without the power of God, sermons are just speeches. Without the power of God, songs are just for entertainment. Without the power of God, discernment is just personal opinion. And without the power of God, leadership becomes a joke. Saul turned into the opposite of who he appeared that he was going to be because he rebelled against God. He was arrogant in his ways. David was anointed to be king, but he had to wait for the time to be appointed to the throne. And when the time had come, he would be approved by God and man. He was anointed, appointed, and approved. He had to grow into his position that had been promised to him, and part of David's training required him to run. Saul chased him. David ran from him. He had to be able to multitask the running from the one trying to kill him and the staying safe of the enemy that he was living among. But he never did try to kill Saul. because he respected his position. He never tried to kill him because that was not his assignment. If he had killed Saul, he would be no better than Saul because he would have slipped off into disobedience and an act of rebellion. So escaping Saul and sparing his life were lessons in obedience for David. His character was being developed. Have you ever been a place in your life where God has made it uncomfortable for you, where you feel like you can't wait until this part of your life is over? Have you ever been in a position where God has promised you something, but it seems like that promise is never, ever going to manifest? You told me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, Lord, when is it going to happen? Do you know what it's like to be anointed but not yet appointed? These are the seasons in our lives where God is working some things out of us and working some things into us. This is the time to trust God, to fast and to pray, to make sure that our lives are in alignment with the will of God. We can still have peace, though in the midst of a storm. We can still have joy, even though all around us is tragedy. We can still feel love, even when the world is afraid. We can still claim our victory, even though the war is not yet over. If you've ever been in that in-between uncomfortable place where you're struggling between who I am and who God wants me to be, your charge is to obey. The manifestation of anointing is obedience. When we obey the Lord, his power will manifest. He will give us revelation so that we'll know exactly what we need to do. He will give us insight so that we'll have the understanding to keep on keeping on. He'll give us innovation so that we can create something that will help the world be a better place. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God wanted Saul to be obedient, but he knew that Saul would fail. His preferred will would have been obedience for Saul, but his permissive will allowed him to become arrogant. And pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. God Almighty knew that the people's choice would let the people down. We have our opinions. We have our ideas about how we think things are supposed to be and supposed to go. It makes good sense to us in our mind. But God's choice is the only choice that's not going to fail. We're going to make mistakes, family. Just understand that. No matter how far we grow in the Lord, we're going to always make some mistakes. But if our heart is in the right place, if our heart is ordered by the Lord, then our mistakes will turn into our stepping stones and take us into his preferred will. We will have learned something from our mistakes. Just like if the Republicans could just stop hounding and pressing and prodding my president. If they could just stop sinking in millions and millions of dollars to campaign against him, if they could stop putting all that energy into making sure he's a first or one-term president and turn it and flip it and start investing into the one that's been anointed, appointed, and approved, this will be an entirely different America right now. Our president, he's not perfect, but he's anointed. He doesn't have omniscience. He doesn't know everything, but he's appointed. He doesn't know what the future is going to bring, but he is approved. If they could just take their blinders off and support our president, we could get some things done. Obama is like David and the Republicans are like Saul. He's been charged to run and stand at the same time. And his only lifeline is his obedience to the Lord. God desires to manifest anointing in our lives. He desires to rise up on the inside of us and spill out upon all those who come in contact with us. So our charge today, family, is simply to obey the Lord. When it feels good, when it feels bad, when we having high times, when we having low times, when we going through it, when we coming out of it, when we're misunderstood, when we're tired, when we're rebuked, when we're scorned, when we feel defeated, when we feel like we're running out, when we feel like we need to be still, our charge is simple. Do what the Lord says do. It's not rocket science. Do what the Lord says do. It's not a mystery. Do what the Lord says do. It's not a secret. Do what the Lord says do. It's not for a few people. Do what the Lord says do. This simple, elementary instruction will open up a world of godliness for you that you didn't even know existed. It'll tap us into an intimacy with the Almighty God that few ever get to enjoy. It'll free us up from having to figure out everything for ourselves. It'll take the pressure off of us for having to feel like we gotta know everything before we even start anything. It's simple, but Saul couldn't do it. It's forthright, but Saul wouldn't do it. It's a commandment, but Saul didn't do it. Manifestation of anointing is a result of the manifestation of obedience. The power of God is revealed through our obedience. The power of the flesh is revealed through our rebellion. When the people look at you, what do they see? When your presence leaves a residue, what do they feel? It's a matter of the heart. They will either receive our anointing or they're going to receive our sin. They're going to either receive our obedience or they're going to receive our rebellion. You don't have to be perfect, but your heart has to be pure. I leave you with this question. Does your heart face God? Does your heart?